Bullhead City. Oh, you knew that already. Yeah, got some crazy. I'm really have to go though. I got crazy people looking at me. Yeah, I know. I miss you too. Hey, can I talk to him real quick? Oh, I love you so much. How's it going? Really? Yeah, I can't wait to see you either. But I really got to get through something here. Yeah, they're really looking at me. Pastor's wondering why. Oh, you already know that. And you know the kind of look he's giving you right now. Yeah, I love you too. Talk to you soon. Bye. Sorry about that. You didn't mind, did you? You better not. That was God. I've been praying about what to speak tonight, and it keeps on changing, so you have to bear with me. Like I said, I'm a simple guy. I'm not a theologian by no means. You guys already know that part. I'm just surprised you understand me when I talk half the time. But it was good hearing from him. You know, sometimes it's been a while. Boy, when you hear his voice, you know it's Daddy. And the son says to say hello. And he loves you. And he cares about you. So guess what? You're in for it now. The title of the, if you want to call it a message, is, so what are you doing? That's what he asked me. He said, what am I doing? I said, well, you know, keeping busy. You know, going from here to there, you know. You know what it's like. He goes, yeah, but, you know, so what are you doing? I said, well, what do you want me to do? He goes, you know what I want you to do. And so do you. We're here to do only one thing, is to worship him and to know his heart and to know what he's like. And some of you have forgotten to pick up the phone. Not maybe once in a while you remember and you pick it up and you say, oh, Dad, it's been a while. We get those phone, we made those phone calls before. We put them off and then we call and we feel so bad about it. But when you hear the voice and you go, Dad, I'm sorry. It's been a while. Forgive me. Then the son gets on the phone and he goes, hey, I love you. Think about all the sacrifice. All the sacrifice that he made. And he still says he loves me, even though I don't talk to him every day or spend time with him every day or think about him every day. See, when I got over, and I'm going over, take that, devil. He's not stopping me. I'm still going. I'm still fighting the good fight of faith. But take that, devil. My God still loves me. And I still hear his voice. And boy, I don't want to forget what it's like. Do you? Do you remember the first time you got saved and either you went to an altar or you were in your room or maybe you're at a meeting. But then all of a sudden God shows up. And then nothing was the same ever again. Nothing. So what are you doing? For heaven's sake. The whole reason why we're here is for heaven's sake. You know, we get so tied up with our chores, our businesses, our lives, our kids, our family, but we forgot. What are we doing for heaven's sake? I want to live every day. I'm living every day. Take that, devil. All of you must, if you were here the last time, you heard what God has brought me through and still taking me. I want to live every day for him. I want to see people, see the heart of God. What is the heart of God? It's souls. Remember, it was you one time. It was you one time. You were lost and you didn't have anything to do with God. You thought you were okay. Or maybe you didn't think you were okay and nobody cared about you and nobody loved you. Hey, I was in that place when I was growing up. my thoughts to be his thoughts. When I get tired and weary and I feel like today, Pastor, you know, my body just gave out. And he asked, well, do you want me to preach? And I said, no, I'm not going to give the devil the upper hand. I'm not going to stop walking in my victory. I'm not going to stop walking in what God already gave me. But I want to know his heart. More than anything, I want to know his heart. And his heart is soul. What matters most to you, you should think about what matters most to God. And that's souls. Now listen, I know a lot of you, I got a big mouth, so it really doesn't bother me. I'll talk to a cow if he comes up to me. But Pastor Tim knows that too. But I know some of you feel like, well, I can't do that. I don't know how to witness. I don't know what to say at first. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know the word that well that I can go up and say, you know, Jesus loved you so much, and then start a conversation. Listen. God will bring people around your path if you let him. Listen, I think I told this story one time before, and for some of you who are new to this face, just forget about the nose and just look from here down. I got a roaming nose, that's why I'm an Italian. But you'll have people come to you without you even having to do anything, as long as you're keeping your focus on. When you see Elaine, that's my wife, she can verify this story. I think maybe some of who was here heard me long, long time ago. A couple. So if you heard the story, go to sleep now. But my wife and my daughter always have this running joke. They would sit me at a table and say, don't say two words to anybody. Just shut up. I said, you know how hard that is for an Italian? They go, if you have to sit on your hands, they tell me, just sit there. We want to see something. And it would take about 5, maybe 6 minutes for someone to come over and start talking to me and tell me their life stories. And they'd roll their heads and go, I don't know how you do it. I would know where they came from, what they did, how they did it, what divorce they went through, why they aren't feeling good. And then I say, well, you know, I got something that can help you. But the story I want to get to, we were coming back from California where we lived. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. We pulled into a convenience store. There was nobody there. We were the only car in the lot. I was filling up the tank with gas, and my daughter and wife went into the convenience store and got some drinks. I'm in the middle of nowhere, California. Nowhere. It's a desert with cornfield. And out walks this guy. And comes right up to me and tells me his whole life story. And my wife and Elaine are standing at the door shaking their heads. You know what? If you're in tune, people find you. I knew where he came from, Australia. He just bought a big farm. Had 2 kids and his wife left him. He was depressed. He said, I don't know why I came here. And he goes, I don't know why I came to talk to you. I said, well, listen, I got something for you. I want to win souls for Jesus. I want to feel his heart. If you're in agreement, man, then just raise your hand. That's our purpose, is to win. I want to bring as many with me as I can. You know, 6 years ago, it's been 6 years now, that we've been fighting. Pastor Tim flew out to Buffalo, New York, and just encouraged me. And I was in that hospital room, didn't think I was going to make it. And didn't think I was going to make it. And here he was giving me the word. And I said, you know what? I think I even told you. I said, I'm sitting here all this time. I'm losing my hair, which is coming back somewhat. I think you're losing more than I am. We can have fun in church too, right? Oh, you forget about it. All right, tell you a quick story. I was going through my second round of chemo because the first part didn't work. I think I told you this maybe last year when I started. I was going through my second round of chemo. First one didn't work, and doctor came and gave me all his bad news. And you remember what I told him. I got a wife who prays. I got people around the country who are praying. And I got a good God. So, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I know what I got to do. But I'm just telling you, there's another answer. But I just have to walk the ward to keep my strength up. Most of you probably heard this story, but I just thought for you, I have to say it again. You're welcome. And there was a woman who walked with me every day. And my hair wasn't falling out. Second round of strong chemo wasn't falling out. I mean, little bits and pieces. And so I would walk around the hall with her, and we talk, and we share. She goes, "I hate you." I go, "Man, what did I do to you today?" She goes, "She's completely bald." She goes, "You're going, you came in the same time I did. You're going through the same thing I'm going through, and you still have hair." I said, "Well, is that a problem for you? We're both going through the same thing. Give me a break." And she goes, "I just don't like you no more." So I went back to my room, and I called the nurse, and I said, "Shave my head." She goes, "But, you know, it's falling out. It's going to fall." I said, "Just shave it. There's a reason, just shave it." So a lady's looking at me, "Why do you want to get it shaved now? It's coming out." I said, "Just shave my head." So next morning, I watched her go ahead of me, and I snuck up behind her and said, "Hey, what do you think? It all came out last night. Yours ain't going to come out that fast." But you have to feel the heartbeat. Souls are worth it. You know, I had this whole other lineup set up, but it seems like I'm not going there. My wife always yells, "You always seem to go someplace else." I said, "Well, I'm a confused Italian. What do you want?" In Mark 16:20, it says, "And they went out and preached." Write it down. You can look it up later. They went out and preached. What they preached? Good news. But what I like about that, too, they went out and preached everywhere. And here's the best part. It says, "And the Lord was with them." So you're not alone when you have to go out and tell somebody the good news. The Lord will give you the right words at the right time to share with the right person. But don't be afraid to share. Somebody might just come up to you and say, "Oh, how are you doing today?" And you say, "Hey, I'm great. I am blessed." And if they look at you crazy, that's okay. You're probably never going to see them again anyway. And then you say, "You know why I'm blessed? It's because I got a God who loves me. And he saved me and made my life right." And as they're walking away thinking you're crazy, you share the gospel. Maybe somebody else will harvest it. Listen, I've been in I won't tell you about it. You heard most of my stories, but there's some other good ones coming your way. Part two of something I got to write. People need to hear about God's love. We got enough going on right now in this country that I've never seen a country divided before so much in my entire life. I mean, I was talking to Pastor Tim. I said, "I don't feel like I'm 60. In my mind, I still think I'm 30. Except I can't lift up a bowling ball anymore." But I've never seen it in my lifetime this bad. And it only proves to me one thing. When that embassy opened up Jerusalem, look up for your redemption draw nigh. Get ready. I remember Pastor Hagen, Brother Hagen, Papa Hagen, saying to us, our class, and I think your class too, "We are the generation going through the school that's going to usher in Jesus Christ." I think he's right. I'm ready to usher him in. Listen, I didn't think I'd be here right now. I thought I'd already be home at least three times. So I must be getting, either I'm doing something real, I got something real good to go through again, and something good's going to start moving, or I'm going to see him in the clouds of glory. The devil's a liar. Put him in his place. Your neuropathy, your pain, let me just tell you something. In June, this June, we had a tent meeting up by our church. And one thing I didn't tell everybody is that I'm still going through some stuff. You know that. But I'm not I tell you what, because I don't care. You don't have to care either. God already took care of it. But your neuropathy, I had pain every day. Every day, my arms, my legs. I would scream out in pain, and my wife goes, "Is it happening?" I said, "Yep." And I said, "This is not God. And the rest of it that I'm going through is not God." So we went up, and I went up for prayer. And it was said for anything in particular. It could have been for my heart, my lungs, you know, everything else that seems that they say is failing. But I know God. And he prayed for me. And I went home and took about a day. I said, I don't got any more neuropathy pains. I don't got any more shooting pains in my head, my feet, my arms. I mean, it would happen every couple hours. And I mean severe, where I just yell out. And if I was in church, I'd go, Jesus loves you. Started realizing I don't have it anymore. I don't have the heart problem anymore. I don't have my kidney problems anymore. I don't have my lung problems anymore. Cancer's gone. The rest is gone. But you stand on that. And then, you know what the devil tried to do? Stupid guy. You think he'd learn? I mean, I thought I was doozy butts. It means crazy in Italian. And it doesn't always come through the right. You know, it takes a little while for Italians to get it sometimes. This Italian anyway. But I got a shooting, all of a sudden a shooting pain hit me so bad. And the minute it hit, I went, no! And I tried it again. I said, no! That was already taken care of. Haven't had another one. My doctor said, your heart's failing. Oh, that's okay. I know my gut. It's no! He took care of it. I want to make sure everybody else knows that. And I want to let everybody else know that there's a Savior, there's a God who cares about you and your problems. Hey, listen, I don't want to hear about it from you. Sorry about that. You can't come up to me and tell me anything you're going through that I haven't been through. My brother's health. My finances are real bad. Well, I lost everything. My 401k. I had to turn in my car. I lost my bank account, all because of the devil's stupid sickness, and he owes me big time. So you can't come up to me and say, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to stand fast on the word. Stand fast. You got something good. It's coming your way. Your way. I want to go right at you. So I don't want you to hear you. You want pity from me? Ain't gonna get it. Oh, but you don't know that pain I got. Oh, well, you're not gonna get that one either. You better be prepared to get prayed for or kicked. Boy, I tell you, I can kick. Might not be as hard as it used to be, but you're gonna get it. In Romans, how will they know? How will they know? So unless someone goes and tells them. How will they hear? Basically it's saying, unless someone tells them. I don't want to see anyone lost. I know we're going to lose a lot of people. But if I have the opportunity, I don't want to lose anybody. I lost some good friends over the last couple years. Thinking about it, then when I got sick, it all changed. But there was this one brother, his name is Tommy, and he grew up in the church. And at one time, he loved Jesus. Pentecostal, full gospel church. And he lost it. Go visit him, and maybe some of you don't know me that well, but I let him have it with both barrels. And I said, Tommy, what are you doing? Time's too short. And he goes, I don't love him anymore. I don't care. anyone and anybody. He said, I don't care. And he said, don't ever come back and talk to me about this again. And about a year later, he died. What are you doing for eternity's sake? God so loved the world. So loved. Not the world. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. And he didn't come into this world to condemn it, it says in chapter in verse 6, 17. To condemn it, but to tell them through him he loves them. That he wants them, wants you. I know it's not the kind of uplifting message maybe you want to hear, but hell's real. We have pushed away from telling the people the truth for so long in this country. The gospel has been watered down too much. People, the new adults and teenagers growing up right now, and they don't know a thing about God, heaven, hell. The world has put so much demand on them and turned their eyes so far away from God, this country. And the only one that can change it right now is us. Man, I keep on telling Pastor Tim, I can't wait to get out into your neighborhood. I told him, guys over here, I said, you better watch out. I said, I'm ready. If you're not, just leave me alone. But we're going to win the lost. And that's the word for tonight. We're going to win the lost. Are you ready to win? Are you ready to pick up that phone and say, hey, you know what happened today? I talked to somebody. You did? What happened? Well, they didn't accept the Lord, but don't worry about it. I got plans for that person. It's not done yet. You planted the seed. Don't worry. There's somebody down the road who's going to harvest that. Hey, Father, did you hear? I talked to my brother today. He hates me. Well, that's good. Don't worry about it. Wait to hear the message once. Not Bobby, I had it. I got it. Got it. I love you guys. But I love Jesus more. In my heart, I hope you know Pastor Tim, just let me loose someplace. I don't care about being behind a pulpit, I really don't. I feel so, it's probably hard to believe it, but I feel so uncomfortable back here. But you get me walking around in some places, or just talking to people, man, my wife hates it. Would you please, we got to go home. Well, I get 5 minutes. It's been an hour. You said 5 minutes. I said, but I'll wait in the car. What are we going to do for heaven's sake? So what are you doing? If you don't remember anything about this message tonight, just remember this. What are you doing? Now, if I really talk New Jersey, like if I went back to my old neighborhood, it'd be like, how you guys doing? What do you want to do tonight? We're going to go uptown, downtown, we're going to get a pie. How about some cannolis? Hey, you know, we're going to go down to the church. We're going to hang out for a little bit. Now, that could come out if you get me near a New Yorker. But what are you doing? Let's have some fun. Hey, we can have fun witnessing to people. Like I said, they'll never see me again. So who cares what they think? When I was in that hospital room month after month, and I said, hey, This is a prime opportunity. They can't leave without taking my pressure, my pills, or give me a shot. So they got to hear what I got to say. Boy, remember Nurse Kravis I told you about, Nurse Nancy? Man, she used to peek in and pray that she didn't have me that day. Captive audience. I said, well, if I got to be here, they got to be here. And if I get the same nurse 3 nights in a row, well, they're mine. My wife goes, will you just stop talking? I go, but they got to hear. They got to hear. So you got a captive audience sometime, whether they like it or not. Who heard that story about Nurse Kravis before? Would you like to hear it again and then I'll end? Okay, Baldy. Oh, either one. I had this. We're getting there. No, well, you're getting there closer than I am, brother. But I had this nurse. Her real name is Nancy. But she was the meanest nurse. It's like, you know, her best day was when she can torment you. And she used to do a pretty good job. But she hated coming in my room. Hated it. Matter of fact, she never came in my room. She came in the first day, second day, and said, that was it. I wish you to get signed to somebody else. But one day, I guess they were short-handed. She comes in, and she was just as moody as ever. And she's sitting there going, they're taking pressure. I said, oh, okay. And I got to give you a shot. I said, oh, that's okay. All right. And then that look. You ever get those looks? Two words for you, and it ain't Merry Christmas. So she was sitting there, and I said, well, first time I got her in a couple months, she's mine. So I said, so what's the matter with you today? Nothing. I said, no, you're a little ornerier than ever. So what's the matter? I'm not ornery. I said, yes, you are. You're a moody person. Well, I'm going through some stuff. I said, well, you think I'm not? I think my stuff's going to be a little worse than yours right now. Especially when they told me I had 6 months to live. I said, so, yeah, give me your best shot. She goes, well, I'm having trouble at home. Da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. You hear all the... I said, oh, I feel real sorry for you. I said, but I got an answer for you. Yeah, I bet you do. I said, no, I really do. I said, God loves you. That everything you're going through, he can take care of. And I said, all you have to do is accept him. I'll let him take care of it for you. And she put her head down and started crying. I said, can I pray for you? And she said, yes. Captive audience. Matter of fact, she left the room smiling. I went, wait a minute, what happened? 10 minutes later, this one nurse's aide, real sweetheart, we'd have a member, I think you better, we had a Bible study every day. She'd come in and ask me a question. I give her an answer, then she'd think about it all day and goes, and then come back later on and we'd talk about it. She runs in the room about 10 minutes later. What did you do? I said, what are you talking about? Did I spoil the bedpan again or did I throw it against the wall? And what do you mean? What did I do? She goes, Nancy. I said, well, what about Nancy? She's at the nurse's station. I said, well, yeah, that's a good place for a nurse. But you don't know. I said, well, no, I don't, so why don't you tell me? And she's just so excited. Remember that black aide? I think you met her. She's a sweetheart. She goes, she's smiling. She's talking nice. What did you do? I got to do anything. Jesus did. She goes, people don't know what to do. They're moving away from her. God is good. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you, Father, that we can be soul winners. Lord, that we won't be quiet and afraid to talk to people, won't be inhibited by how we look or how we act. But Father, that we can share the good news of the gospel that you love us. Lord, we don't want to see any go to hell. Lord, we don't want to see them in pain and suffering and torment for the rest, for eternity. So Father God, I just pray you make these people aware and you touch their hearts to God and talk to someone. Maybe not every day, but once a week or once a month, but just talk to someone to win them to you, Father God. Bless these people, Father God. They love you and they care about you. They have a good pastors who want to see this church grow and be filled with new believers, Father God. Thank you for every life here, every healing that's taken place. Oh, for all their finances to be met here in this house. In Jesus' name we pray.